Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're continuing our series, By Candlelight They Suffer, which is a story submitted by Jarrett. We are on part 6 today. If you're following along, I hope you're enjoying yourself so far. And a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. So sit back, relax, and let's get started. Drake's phone vibrated in his pocket just as lunch hour began. He snatched it up and read a message from Maddie.
I know what you did. If you want me to keep this little secret between us, meet me at lunch by one of the outside picnic tables. You owe me.
And so Drake wandered outside in his usual gym shorts and tank top, finding Maddie sitting alone at one of the tables. A neat stack of papers sat beside the burrito she had undoubtedly gotten DoorDashed. You wanted to see me? He asked. Maddie didn't look up, seemingly bothered by something as she highlighted a line in her planner. Sit. Drake obeyed. When a few moments had passed, she capped her highlighter and looked at him with a wary expression. What's wrong? He asked.
Something's going on with Chloe.
Anything I can help with? Maddie's look turned spiteful.
Like the way you helped Jordan?
Drake had nothing to say to that. He averted his gaze, staring at the ground.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But there is something you can help me with.
She went on. With what? He looked up to see her sliding a packet of papers across the table. What's this?
A little petition I need signatures for.
He turned it around and examined it.
For what? A Chick-fil-A.
Drake scoffed. Here? That'll never happen.
In the cafeteria. And you might be surprised if we get enough support.
That's like... But we're seniors.
So?
So we'll be graduated by the time they build this. Maddie leaned back and sighed.
You can either spend lunch and the rest of today helping me gather signatures, or we can discuss your extracurricular activities with the athletic department.
Whoa, well, hold on, that's blackmail.
You know something? I think it is, and I think you deserve it. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Maddie raised an eyebrow and spoke in her trademark high-pitched, valley girl voice.
Oh, really?
Look, he said, whatever you saw, just don't say anything.
I didn't say I saw anything.
Drake froze. Maddie smiled, a tiny, cruel little twist of the lips.
Interesting that you jumped straight to that, though.
Maddie,
do you think I'm stupid? Even if I can't prove anything, I know where you hide your secret stash.
No, you wouldn't dare.
Do you know what I wouldn't dare?
She interrupted.
I wouldn't dare go behind my boyfriend's back and sneak around with his bestie.
For a prolonged moment, neither spoke. Then Maddie pushed the petition packet another inch across the table.
Here's what's going to happen. Every line gets signed.
You're serious?
Dead serious.
He flipped through the stack. There had to be at least 100 signature lines. There's no way I can do that in half a school day. Maddie shrugged, pulled the short hem of her skirt down to look somewhat appropriate for school, and started to rise.
Then I guess we're done here.
Drake's stomach dropped.
No, hold on.
Maddie smiled and alighted herself back down on the bench. After making a show of crossing her legs, Drake took in the show like a drilling puppy. She folded her hands neatly in her lap.
Tonight, you and I are going to have a very long conversation about our future.
Drake swallowed the nervous lump in his throat.
Our future? If you want there to be one.
Maddie, come on, you know I never meant to.
Every line,
she said, jabbing a finger in the pages.
Not most of them. Not almost all of them. You get every signature, and tonight we'll talk,
she said as she tapped the packet with one perfectly manicured fingernail.
And if I don't?
Maddie smiled.
I hear the athletic department has a zero-tolerance drug abuse policy. Oh, and one more thing. Don't even think about handing this to Jordan. If I see you two hanging around again, consider us.
She gestured back and forth between them.
Over.
Drake stared at the petition as Maddie's expression suddenly transformed into the bright, cheerful one she used on teachers.
Now, get going, football star, she chirped. I hope you have the best day ever.
Drake rose and grabbed the packet before sauntering away. As Maddie watched him go, the smile vanished from her face. and became something more like a scowl. Maddie sure had him by the balls, that much was clear. If only that motivation made getting the signatures any easier. It wasn't easy, as it turned out. Drake had thought it would be a breeze, and it was for the first 50 or so. All the jocks on the football team had signed, no questions asked, and so had some of the cheerleaders, which left him halfway done. The best part, it was only the end of lunch period. Plenty of time to get them all, or so he'd thought. In reality, getting anyone to sign anything in that last period, a brutally boring history class, that could make even the most invested Oxford historian snore, turned out to be near impossible. He tried sneaking the packet to classmates next to him, but eventually the teacher, a gruff bearded old man Drake didn't even know the name of, confiscated it until the end of the day. That meant he'd have to make it all up after school, when everyone was in a rush to catch the bus or drive home. Just great. Yet Drake didn't let that deter him. He had stood outside in the lobby, pen raised high, boldly proclaiming for a Chick-fil-A to be built in the cafeteria. He watched in amazement as people ended their conversations amongst their friends and began flocking over to him like seagulls eyeing a loaf of stale bread. One after another, they had all signed until every last page was taken up. Some wrote in cursive, but most had simply printed their first and last name. Whatever. As long as each line was full, that's all that mattered. Chloe tossed and turned on the padded bench, the room around her darkening as the afternoon sun slipped behind a dense gray cloud cover. She'd managed to miss an entire day of school while still being in school. Figuring that must have been some kind of awful world record, she found herself replaying the events of the past several hours over and over again in her mind. First, the mayhem on the bus that had knocked Chloe out of the top tier of Patterson High's popularity. Then the bathroom ordeal with Jade and the dollar. Her cheeks reddened again at the thought. And finally, the most troublesome of all. The strange mark Maddie had seen on her back that the nurse seemed oblivious to. What was it? Was it some kind of weird medical condition that came and went? Or maybe some kind of... Chloe bolted upright. Something Jade had said when passing her the dollar underneath the stall door came rushing back to her. Not directly to her, but in passing as she was walking out. It was muttered under her breath, but Chloe could swear she had said, "It only gets worse from here." What did that mean? Had she even said it, or was Chloe imagining it? Was Jade somehow controlling events in her life? But how? And did she know about the mark? Maybe the two weren't even connected. Chloe shook her head. No, there had to be a link there. But what? Maybe she could ask Maddie to find out. In the meantime, the front office had called Chloe's mom at work, telling her she was sick and needed a ride home. Apparently, Mom had been huffy and puffy, but had texted Chloe's phone saying that, luckily, her court case was in recess until Monday, giving her enough ample time to squeeze Chloe into her busy schedule. How generous. The door opened. The school nurse popped her head in and smiled. "Your mother is here?" Chloe nodded and said, "I'll be out in a second. I just feel kind of weird." "It's okay. Take a quick breather while she fills out the paperwork," the nurse said, leaving the door slightly ajar. As the nurse retreated, Chloe could hear muffled conversation filtering in from the main office lobby. An older female voice saying her name aloud drew her to her feet as she held her ear up to the opening. "Can you believe her? She's 18 and acts like a toddler." Chloe felt her throat turn to stone as the voice mocked, "Mommy, I'm sick. Come get me. Give me a break." A pause, then, "Sign where? Do I have to?" Chloe felt moisture puddle behind her eyes as she recognized the voice of her own mother. Her mother kept up her derisive rant. "No, no, she's fine. Just dramatic. Trust me, she'd text Maddie before she'd ever text me for anything." Chloe wiped angrily at her eyes. God, she was so sick of crying. "Can we make this quick? I normally bill $300 an hour, and I had to leave work early to pick up my sad excuse of a daughter." The moisture behind Chloe's eyes finally spilled over, and she hated herself for it. More than that, she hated that evil goth girl Jade and her stupid makeup and horrible Hot Topic outfits. What a terrible dresser. She hated Brooke, and that pathetic put-on fake nice girl attitude with the deer in the headlights stare.
Me? No, I'm nice. I'm not a backstabbing bitch.
Right. She hated those stupid freshman punks and how they acted like Neanderthals. Like, really, who wasted perfectly good milk like that? What a douche. She would press assault charges. Maybe a night in juvie would scare him back to sanity, or at least decent bus behavior. She hated this entire stupid school and everyone in it and how fake everyone was to her. Most of all, she hated those words. The sentence that kept popping back into her head whenever she had a clear thought. It only gets worse from here. Chloe closed her eyes and cried to herself, rocking back and forth on the bench like one of those crazy women in insane asylums that talk to themselves. Then suddenly she opened her eyes and stared straight ahead. As a twinge of pain lanced through her lower back, she stood up abruptly, glancing around the darkened examination room. Nothing. She was alone. Chloe winced and leaned forward as the pain intensified. Something shifted beneath her skin. What was that? A series of soft cracks echoed through her vertebrae, like knuckles being popped one by one. The sensation made her stomach churn. Ow! She rubbed at her lower back and the pain faded, at least mostly. Sniffling and wiping her nose, Chloe took a shaky breath and headed for the door.
You're fine, she told herself. Just stressed, that's all.
The hallway beyond the nurse's office seemed unusually quiet for her mother being a mere few feet away. The fluorescent lights buzzed overhead as she walked toward the front lobby where she was waiting. Halfway there, another jolt shot through her back, harder this time. Chloe stumbled and leaned against the wall for support.
What is wrong with me?
The words had barely left her mouth when it happened. A blazing, searing bolt of agony ripped through her spine. She screamed as her knees instantly gave out. The floor rushed up to meet her as she collapsed into a trembling heap. Nothing could have prepared her for something this painful. It felt alive, like something was moving beneath her skin.
Help!
Her voice cracked as she screeched a raw, desperate plea. The hallway stretched endlessly before her, warped by tears. Another surge. Chloe screamed again, this time her bladder letting go with it, puddling around her legs on the now soiled floor. Her fingers clawed helplessly against the same tile as panic seized her chest. She couldn't breathe, couldn't think, couldn't do anything except endure it. Then she saw it. At first, she thought it was a trick of the light. Perhaps a reflection, maybe. But no, she could see it plain as day. After all, she had stared at her reflection in the mirror enough times to know what she looked like. And this figure, this thing, it was her. Same outfit, same hair, even the mole on her left cheek. Everything was the exact same as it loomed over her. Well, almost everything. A strange, hazy border surrounded it, like it was out of focus or an NPC that wasn't fully rendered in a video game. It stared down at her, then gave the most menacing, evil smile Chloe had ever seen. She couldn't bear to look at it and turned her head away. Laying there for what felt like hours, she wept, hoping someone would help her. As if on cue, footsteps jostled somewhere nearby. Adult voices, someone shouting her name. The nurse, her mother, people running toward her. But as darkness crept inward from the edges of her vision, Chloe mustered up the courage to look back up to where the figure had been. It was gone. Jordan licked her lips as she lay sprawled across her bedroom carpet beside Brooke.
If I tell you this, you have to promise to keep it to yourself.
Brooke sat upright.
Okay, yeah, promise.
Jordan pointed a warning finger at her and laughed.
No, seriously. Jordan, I swear.
Jordan looked away and giggled.
So, Drake Billings? You know, the varsity quarterback?
Yeah, who doesn't?
Right, so...
Jordan buried her face in her hands.
God, I can't believe I'm telling you this.
Brooke scooted closer.
Tell me. He's like super tiny, you know?
Her eyes shuffled downwards, then back up where they complemented a deviant grin.
Down there. What? Oh my God.
Brooke held up her hands and turned her face away in disgust. Jordan held her thumb and pointer finger a millimeter apart.
little itty bitty. Jordan, gross.
Jordan laughed and gave Brooks' foot a kick.
Oh, come on. Most girls would kill for this. That's way too much information. Here's some more. Did you know? Jordan! What? I did not need to know that. Well, now you do.
Brooke groaned and buried her face in her notebook while Jordan giggled.
We have a project due in a week and we haven't even started yet.
So what?
I really need this for my grade, Brooke pleaded.
Jordan seemed to consider this, then nodded reluctantly.
You're right, I guess. Great, but first, do you have a bathroom?
Jordan pointed to her closet door, looking rather disappointed after getting shot down.
Kind of a weird layout, but it's through my walk-in closet and there's a door in the very back.
That is weird, Brooke said as she rose to her feet and sidled up to the closet. She placed a hand on the knob but didn't pull back.
I know it's strange, but I kind of like it. It's super private, Jordan said.
With that, Brooke shrugged and yanked it open, the doors creaking with a high-pitched squeal. When she laid eyes inside, she said,
Holy crap!
What?
Your closet is bigger than my bedroom!
That's not true.
Jordan, you have an entire H&M in here!
But Jordan laughed from somewhere behind as the closet immediately swallowed Brooke. Clothes hung on both sides in neat rows that stretched far deeper than any closet had a right to. Dresses, jackets, blouses, skirts, shirts, all organized by color. The overhead lighting was practically non-existent, leaving the corners cloaked in shadow. It felt less like a room and more like a trail cut through a forest. Brooke followed the narrow carpet between the clothing racks as a sequined sleeve brushed against her arm. The further she walked, the more claustrophobic it became. The clothes seemed to lean inward, swallowing the light and muffling sound. By the time she reached the back wall, Jordan's voice sounded distant.
You alive in there?
Barely.
Drama queen. I feel like I'm hiking through a Gucci boutique. Just use the bathroom.
Brooke finally spotted the door hidden at the very end of the closet and grabbed the handle. As she pulled it open, she couldn't shake the strange feeling that someone was standing among the clothes behind her. She turned. There was nothing. Shaking off a chill that radiated through her bones, she pushed open the bathroom door and fairly leaped inside, shutting it behind her. The room was immaculate, showcasing a pristine white marble countertop, silver fixtures, an ornate mirror mounted above the sink, neatly folded hand towels, and a toilet so spotless one would be able to lick it. This room looked like it came straight out of a home improvement show. Brooke used the toilet and was washing her hands when something on the shelf behind her caught the corner of her eye. Her blood ran cold as she turned and shifted over towards it. A candle. It sat tucked into the corner of the shelf in a decorative glass jar. Brooke frowned as she lifted the lid and saw the swirling pattern of yellow-white wax within. The tropical Hawaiian scent wafted upwards, resembling a cheap air freshener, but what she saw next made her nearly drop the lid in shock. A pack of gum, half embedded in the hardened wax, the other half shriveled and blackened. Brooke stared. She knew that pack. The previous day, she'd pulled it from her backpack during class and gave it to Jordan. Now it was here, and Jade's words from the previous day came back to her in one terrifying rush of anxiety.
We must place an item into the candle that either belongs to the person or bears their image.
Brooke felt her knees turn to overcooked spaghetti as the glass lid slipped from her grasp, shattering on the tiled floor. The crash must have made a racket because she heard Jordan pound on the door not 10 seconds later.
Brooke, are you okay? What's wrong?
Her pulse hammered so hard against her ribs that she could feel it in her throat. Another knock.
Brooke? I'm fine, she blurted, the lie sounding ridiculous even to her own ears. You don't sound fine. I dropped something.
What? Brooke looked down at the shattered glass scattered across the floor. She couldn't very well lie. Jordan would know, either by stepping on a shard of glass or, more obviously, seeing the lidless candle. Brooke swallowed hard and managed to say,
A candle?
Then there was a pause from the other side of the door, then...
You broke my candle? Why were you touching it?
Something about the anger in Jordan's voice phased Brooke for a moment of concerned trepidation.
Sorry, I wanted to smell it.
No reply filtered back as Brooke stood motionless.
I said sorry, Brooke repeated.
Finally, a massive sigh and some shuffling around in the closet.
It's okay. Are you cut?
No, there's glass on the floor, though.
Can I come in?
No. On the other side of the door, Jordan spoke more cautiously, yet underlying her tone with a sense of vague malice that reached into Brooke's nervous system and clamped down.
Brooke, you need to come out.
And that's the end of this part. I hope you're enjoying it so far. I think we're leaving on quite a cliffhanger on this one too. If you're enjoying this series, let me know in the comments if you even have the ability to do that. I appreciate hearing from all of you. So I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for choosing this story to listen to. If you'd like to support the channel, you can do so on Patreon or purchase yourself a sick ass merch at shop.storiesaftermidnight.com. With that said, appreciate you. Take care now. Bye bye then.